It's my honor to present the Stanley Cup to Captain Dustin Brown.
Commissioner Gary Bettman with Dustin Brown, and now Dustin Brown hoisting the cup.
Welcome to the Kauffman Show. L.A. Kings, Stanley Cup champions. Something that we kind of all felt after Game 1 in 1993, and it's finally come to fruition. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I always get goosebumps watching that.
Yeah, it never, ever gets old. Especially when you see a franchise that's never won the cup before and been around for so long. It's nice to see it. I guess the fans deserve it. So does the team. They played sensationally throughout the playoffs.
I don't think I've ever missed one of these since I've started watching hockey.
No, I don't think I have either. I mean, I've seen pretty much all of them since the mid-80s.
Who would be? I guess Edmonton in 90.
Okay.
Oh, no, Calgary 89, of course.
Yeah.
What a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
But here we are, L.A. Kings, Stanley Cup champions. They're still going around. They're still on the ice and still celebrating. I imagine they will be for the next little while. It's great to be here with you. I hope you enjoyed TSN 90's coverage of the Stanley Cup final. It's over now.
It's all done. It's all done but the crying. It was long, man. That was long.
The playoffs, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it felt like last season when Philly was playing Pittsburgh, didn't it? And everybody was excited, and now it seems that no one is so excited anymore.
I hear what you're saying. If you're a Kings fan, does this really feel like it took forever, or did it fly by?
No, well, just like 93 for Montrealers, I would guess it was the same way.
I think this felt like it took forever because the Canadiens weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think that's what made it drag on for Montrealers is for the first time in a while, Habs fans got to see just how long the playoffs are.
Yeah. There are also two teams that most people in this city are not really interested in seeing winning the Stanley Cup, I would assume. You know, there's a lot of Pittsburgh fans, a lot of Boston fans.
You'd think that there's some Brodeur fans.
Yeah, but like everyone says, he's had his share and so on. But I do love the way that he handled himself during these playoffs. Humble, looked like he was having a great time, and you were kind of rooting for him in a little bit of a way there.
I was openly rooting for him, Jay.
Openly?
Yeah, I really wanted Martin Brodeur.
You're out of the closet and you were rooting for Martin Brodeur.
Openly rooting for the Devils to win the cup.
Were you?
Yeah, once it got to this point, absolutely.
Their uniform makes me tired. I don't know what it is. It bores me. I'm so tired of seeing it. They haven't changed it in 20 years. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I was going for the Kings. I'd like to see the Kings win.
I like the adversity that the Devils showed in battling back, because we sat in this studio exactly 1 week ago thinking that the series was done. We were talking. We were right here. We were with John Liu from TSN.
Yeah.
And the Kings had just taken a 3-0 lead, and we figured it'd be over on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and
if had changed to when, you know.
Pretty much, exactly. Yeah. And the consensus then was that the tank was fully empty.
Yep.
That New Jersey had nothing left. So for them to battle and bring it to 6 games, I thought redeemed the finals and made it a lot more exciting.
Yeah, they certainly came back and they showed a lot of testicular fortitude.
Oh, is that what they call it
in their comeback?
Now?
Yeah.
Is that what they call
That's
it?
That's what they call that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, but yeah.
To the layman out there, I think Jay's referring to balls.
Yes.
Funnily enough, that was actually the name of the show before it became the Kauffman Show.
It was. And maybe they should rename the Devils to the Balls so that they'll get new uniforms and I don't have to look at that boring uniform anymore.
Now, summertime is officially here. Hockey season is over.
It is. That's it. Done.
I mean, there are other hallmarks, ways that we can measure it. The Grand Prix is a good one. The festival season is another good one. But, 11 o'clock all summer long, we will be here Monday nights on TSN Radio.
At 11.
That's what I'm saying. It won't be 11:08. It won't be 11:16. There won't be, we'll worry about Monday Night Football when Monday Night Football rolls around. But in the meantime, we've got ourselves a heck of a program tonight. One of my favorite journalists will be on the program in about 5 minutes' time. His name is Dave Zirin. And he is the editor for The Nation, their sports department, which I think is him. He's the first sports writer that they hired in the 150-year existence of the magazine. But you've seen him on ESPN, you've seen him on MSNBC, and he's written a fantastic blog on The Nation's website talking about the NBA finals, which start tomorrow. Everybody's talking about how this is good versus evil. We'll debate which side is good and which side is evil with Dave Zirin from The Nation and Edge of Sports. 12:05, we've got Travis Reitzma joining us from Runs Batted Out and The Score. We'll have Max Harris back on the show. Talk a little Mad Men, some predictions for the future of Mad Men. And Ben Christensen, who's back on the left coast, hanging out watching some college baseball.
College baseball?
Yeah.
All right.
And I want to talk about this fight on Saturday night.
Yeah, so do I.
Good, good.
I have words, Kaufman.
We're gonna ask Dave Zirin about it.
Yep.
We'll talk about the finals. I want to get his thoughts on it because I haven't seen any, and I imagine that he has a very strong opinion on it. So, yeah, look at that. That's the Kaufman Show all set up nice and tidy for you tonight. Unless, of course, news breaks.
And yeah.
My God, last week was crazy,
What else could happen?
I don't know. The coach is already hired.
Yeah.
How much worse can it get?
I think we handled it pretty well, Mr. Kaufman.
Oh, it was fun last week.
Yes, it was.
It was a lot of fun last
Great
week.
Great guests and all around good journalism, my friend, I have to say.
Thank you. It was all credit where credit is due. Darren Dreger is the man for breaking that story at the time of night that he did.
And then coming on our show about 15 minutes later. Not too bad.
Sent him an email to thank him the next day, and he wrote back, anything for the TSN family. So this is the Kaufman Show, a proud, proud member of the TSN family. And we'll be right back with Dave Zirin. Won't you keep me? I'm a keeper. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, a night where they are still celebrating on the TV. The Kings are, that Staples Center must be a hell of a place to be tonight. Hopefully that DJ is not playing the music from the soundtrack of Rock of Ages anymore.
What was going on over there?
I don't know. It was stuck in the Viper Room in 1987.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Poison's going to hit the stage any minute now.
Yeah.
But
like Electric Avenue. What is going on?
Look at that. With an actual crown on his head, the LA Kings are celebrating, and we can shift gears because the hockey season is over. And the NBA Finals start tomorrow night. Oklahoma City. Still feels weird when I say it. Miami.
Well, because there's Miami no other Oklahoma City in any other sport, really.
It's just no. I mean, after seeing Sonic Skate and speaking with Jason Reed,
it just...
It just feels dirty. And
it feels like Washington National. I don't know. There's something weird about it that I don't seem to like.
We'll be dealing with that in a couple of months, I imagine, as the Nationals continue to dominate or at least hold their own in the NL East. Let's bring in our next guest. His name is Dave Zirin, and he's one of my favorite journalists out there. He covers sports the right way with a political angle to it. He does not beat around the bush, and... his website, Edge of Sports, you can check out his weekly columns. They're fantastic. And he's also the sports editor for The Nation and wrote a blog on The Nation that showed up last night called Why We Should All Root for the Miami Heat. And we're lucky to have him on tonight to explain it. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
Doing well. LA Kings, what can you say?
Not much to say. You know, the last time they were in the finals, the Habs beat them, and it's a lifetime ago, 19 years. So we know how long this franchise has been yearning for this. So, you know, to the diehards there, we're all real happy for them.
I don't think I needed to hear Dr. Feelgood from the gate system after they won the title. But, I mean, other than the Motley Crue montage, I thought it was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was a beautiful moment on mute, Dave, which happens a lot in sports, I find.
Sports.
There's nothing wrong with playing a little music and hitting that mute button and just watching the events unfold. But needless to say, tomorrow night, the NBA Finals start up, and there's a lot of hype going on. And I loved your article. I thought it was fantastic the way that it sort of lays it all out there for everybody. Now, the consensus in the United States, or at least in the basketball-watching world, is that the Heat are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. No, they have done a classic white hat, black hat narrative at this, with a lot of it centering on Oklahoma City Thunder star Kevin Durant and Miami Heat's LeBron James, with either LeBron being the anti-Durant or Durant being the anti-LeBron. The emphasis, of course, being on the fact that one of them, and I'll give you three guesses who that one is, and the first two don't count, is the selfish modern superstar who goes to greener pastures and breaks a small market town's heart. And the other is the kind of person who you wish every NBA player was. And in extension, the two teams as well. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they did it the right way, built through the draft, young team, patient, developing talents. And then the other team, a kind of pastiche of free agents trying to assemble a dream team on the fly. As if the Heat win, it rewards one method, and if the Thunder wins, it rewards another. And what was driving me nuts when I was reading a lot of these, you know, very easy narratives is like this, like there was something missing. And you said it in the intro. It's like, if we're really going to look at rewarding one method over another, are we really going to reward a team in the Oklahoma City Thunder that absolutely absconded with that franchise from the city of Seattle in a way that was so underhanded, so dirty? I mean, you mentioned the movie Sonic's Gate. People can go to sonicsgate.com and see the whole ins and outs of the story itself. But the idea that somehow it was almost like you know, that little thing they have in the Men in Black movies where you look at the little light and you forget about what occurred. I mean, it's been amazing. It's as if what happened to the Sonics didn't happen. And the kind of stupid comments. I've gotten a lot of very smart dissents from what I wrote saying, nah, we should root for the Heat because I don't want to see Oklahoma City Thunder owner Clay Bennett rewarded. I don't want to see him holding up a trophy. And I've gotten a lot of smart responses to that saying, I disagree. We can't be rooting for teams based on who the owner is, or look at Heat owner Mickey Arison, and these are his collective sins, so how are you going to like him over the other guys? And yet some of the comments that have been just so idiotic, like hey, at least the team sells out in Oklahoma City and they didn't sell out in Seattle, as if there wasn't, a 40-year history of support in the city of Seattle, and, B, as if we're just going to conveniently forget that the Seattle Supersonics were a team that won the Pacific Division title back when there was such a thing. And yet, remember what happened after that. The team was systematically taken apart for the sole purpose of bleeding out fan interest so they could justify moving the team to Oklahoma City.
Dave, it's a story that we know all too well, and I realized when you gave me your number today that you're based in Washington, D.C., aren't you?
Oh, yeah. So I got the other end of it, too.
Yeah, well, that's...
I can't believe it.
Well, you've had it, and I guess, I don't know if you're raised there or not, but I'd imagine that the generation
before... I'm a Mets fan. I'm from New York City, but I've lived in D.C. 17 years, and I've seen the evolution of the Washington Nationals franchise, and... It is like the human centipede, and if people have seen that movie, they know how disgusting that simile just was. But it's like we're on the other end of it, where you've got the Montreal Expos and then coming here to the Washington Nationals. And being on the other end of it, I got to tell you, is as queasy as being on the Montreal end of things. Just as I would like to think there's some people in Oklahoma City who feel as queasy as the people of Seattle feel today. Because, you know, I'm here in D.C., and I saw the whole thing, the payoffs to the city council people to get the stadium built, the way the popular sentiment in D.C. was overridden to give $1 billion to build a new stadium there, even in advance of us even having an ownership group here in Washington, D.C., the way old feelings were exploited, the way the feelings of Montreal were forgotten, yeah, the way the entire history of the Expos, whether it's like Gary Carter, Tim Raines, Tim Wallach, Charlie Lee, Bill Lee, I mean, the whole Andre Dawson, the whole amazing, cool Ellis Valentine, who's on this show. I'm so excited, honored to be on the same show as Ellis Valentine. I mean, the fact that all of this just becomes systematically erased, Men in Black style. And it's you know, it's Frank Howard time again, as if it's the Washington Senators reincarnated. And it's queasy and it's disgusting. And maybe I'm just sensitive because I'm from Brooklyn. My dad's from Brooklyn, and I was raised with stories of Walter O'Malley and how he stole the Brooklyn Dodgers and moved them to L.A. Like, I think I was 10 years old when my dad said to me, what do you do if you have Hitler, Stalin, and Walter O'Malley in a room and you got a gun with two bullets? I was 10 years old, and I'm like, Daddy, don't tell me this joke. But my dad said, no, son, it's a good one. You got Hitler, Stalin, Walter O'Malley, gun with two bullets. You shoot O'Malley twice to make sure the bastard's dead. And so this idea that sports is somehow, oh, well, it's just a business. business, and wherever you can go to greener pastures, you go. And it's all as if cities, municipalities, communities don't have a stake in them as institutions, as if they're not like family heirlooms you pass on from one generation to the next. Very sensitive to that. Last thing I want to see is the Oklahoma City Thunder rewarded.
You alluded to it on Twitter earlier tonight, Dave, that the only franchise that's run properly is Green Bay. Now, as a sports fan, as somebody who grew up loving sports and feeling devotion to teams, one who's not there anymore, where does the modern sports fan go? Should they be looking to amateur sports or at the collegiate level? It almost seems like it's come to the point where it's too hard to get involved with a team because the reality of the situation is unless it's the Red Sox or the Yankees, they could go somewhere.
No, that's exactly right. But I think there's another option. And of course, once you start treading into collegiate sports, at least on the Division I level in the United States, you've entered a sewer, the likes of which it makes professional sports seem like a shiny, happy, G-rated movie. So that's always a tough sell. I think we have to be vigilant sports fans. And I know that's tough, and I know a lot of us, myself included, often go to sports to escape. But there has to be a way in which, like, we're both cheering for our team, cheering for our favorite players, but also raising this issue. If public money is going into these franchises, why isn't the question of public ownership raised as well? Why have we become so conditioned, and so many sports fans have been so conditioned to think, well, you either give $1 billion to somebody who already has $1 billion or expect your team to leave. And we've become so complacent with that kind of a status quo. And I think we have to break out of that trap and start raising much bigger questions and saying, you know what, this is, you know, pro sports in North America has been around since the late 19th century. It's only been in the last generation that this paradigm has been imposed on us, where it's like the public pays for sports, not just by tickets and not just if they're sports fans, but it's taken out of their pockets forcibly. And if anybody dares say a peep about it, well, guess what? The Seattle Sonics of Slick Watts, Jack Sikma, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp magically become the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I know everybody loves them, but their name still sounds like a bad roller derby team to me. I hate that name, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I hate the fact that it makes it somehow even worse to me that they do have this terrific franchise with incredibly likable players, because it's a franchise that was ill-gotten. And I don't care how good their PR machine is, it'll always be a team to me that's caked in original sin.
And just to be clear, it's nothing to do with Durant or Westbrook or Collison or any of the guys. It's purely about what's going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. And once again, people have been tweeting to me all day, well, look at Mickey Arison, look at other owners. And while I have to say I do believe there is such a thing as lesser evilism when it comes to owners, that there are some certainly who are better than others, more responsible than others, et cetera, et cetera. The thing about the Thunder is it's in a whole different category. It's in the Bob Irsay Colts category. It's in the Walter O'Malley Brooklyn Dodgers category. It's in Jeffrey Loria, that guy who somehow perfected the human centipede all by himself. He uses his own head as a rectal thermometer 365 days a year. These are people who, to me, in the history of ownership in pro sports, are in their own category. People who have taken great pleasure in not only taking cities hostage, but executing the hostage as well and taking the money.
We're just finishing up with Dave Zirin from The Nation.
Are we really?
Sports. I know. Jay's having too much fun, and frankly, I want to continue this. I want to get your thoughts, Dave, just before we let you go on the Pacquiao fight on Saturday night.
Oh, I mean, it's so interesting. It's like, what do you say about this? I mean, you almost want to be like, okay, boxing is corrupt and venal. Pacquiao won the fight. Bob Arum is the Dick Cheney of boxing promoters. Film at 11. I mean, I remember Jimmy Cannon wrote 50 years ago that boxing is the red light district of sports. I mean, this is like that fight was like the red light district crossed with a crack epidemic. I mean, it was so awful to anybody who actually gave their money to that fight. Pacquiao clearly won. The statistics speak for themselves. Bradley also tweeting out the poster of the fight. I mean, the thing about it, you know who, honestly, like it really should have given night sweats to is the National Football League. Cause I think it's like to the NFL, it's You're the number one sport in North America in terms of the kind of money you produce and in terms of the amount of eyes on your product. If you don't clean up your game, if you don't figure out this concussion mess, if you don't figure out these class action lawsuits, this is your future.
Yeah, Dave.
Your future is boxing.
Dave, the thing that gave it away for me was not necessarily the judge's decision at the end of the fight. It was Pacquiao's complacency at the end, where he says, yes, absolutely, I would like a rematch, like a robot up there. And I said, something stinks here. You know, that's really what got me.
Yeah, something stinks here, and it wasn't just the seat of Bob Arum's pants. I mean, these are people, I mean, and I say that as someone who's met Bob Arum. This is a smelly man. These are not people that you want to be around for too long. The stink that boxing puts on the world of sports. But this is the thing, though, when you have violent sports and you don't figure out a way to regulate that violence, what you do is you turn off consumers and you turn off people who potentially could be a part of the sport. And this is the slippery slope that the NFL faces if they don't figure their own business out, a sideshow violent sport that actually draws in the worst people to run it and produces decisions just like this.
Dave Zirin from the Edge of Sports and The Nation. Read his stuff every week. Thank you so much for your time tonight. We really appreciate it.
My privilege, and much love and respect to Mr. Ellis Valentine.
We'll speak to you soon.
Sounds good.
There he goes, Dave Zirin. That was fantastic.
That's the greatest guest we've ever had. That guy put me to shame.
Jay, I've been
I wouldn't even dare say things like that. That's awesome.
I've been trying to figure out a way to get him on our show for months, and it
fantastic.
Was as simple as sending an email.
Yeah.
So I hope
that's
all,
it.
I hope you all enjoyed that, and I hope you all go on to edgeofsports.com. He's got a radio show. He's got amazing, amazing blogs. The guy is a fantastic writer. Like we said, writes for The Nation, the first sports writer that they hired in their 150-year history.
Well, we see why.
The interview with Dave Zirin will be up on thekaufmanshow.podbean.com sometime in the next 15, 20 minutes. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar is at Jay Pub Radio. And
there'll be plenty of human centipede references.
Just
if
a
you
couple.
Want.
And, you know. Talk Sonics, support the Sonics. Yeah. Same story, man. And I'm telling you, Montreal, get ready. It's going to be the Nationals one day winning. Time to mentally prepare yourselves.
We'll get Dave on again when that happens.
100%. This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Getting warm. It's getting warmer, it's getting closer to the answer. I was working on my grammar, I was driving in my Chevy. It was fast, but not the fastest. I was listening to Cactus. Man, you really gotta practice if you wanna get that heavy. She was there on the highway, and her eyes said, going my way. And I loved her in an instant, like a Turkish cymbal crashing. Got high, got higher. Was it smoke or true desire? Did we start that forest fire?
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Yes, Mr. Farrar?
Dude brought it, man. That was awesome.
You're still on a high from that, huh?
I don't know. He's like my hero now. I don't know what it is, man. He talks. I don't know. I can never speak like that and still be as and mention the human centipede and still be all philosophical about it. And oh, awesome! Kicked ass.
I will
awesome.
Thank our next guest, Travis Reitzma, for introducing me to Dave Zirin and his work.
Thank you, Travis.
Right, and again, the same style of stuff. Travis is not your run-of-the-mill sports writer. He
right.
looks at things from an angle that I can appreciate.
Right. Right.
We'll be joined by Travis in about 15 minutes' time. Yes?
I don't know. If you ask Dave, I've been laughing the entire commercial.
I feel like you want to end the show now. Like, I can't get any better.
My life is complete, dude. I'm going to sleep well tonight after that. That was great. I don't know what it is.
We're bumping Ben,
so
Travis,
honest.
And Max, and we're going to put on Love This Town, and it's over. No, I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
Jimmy really went for it. Jimmy, relax. We got a show here.
Let's go back to this boxing match, because boxing isn't something that we talk about a lot really ever on this show. I mean, we had
ever again, I hope.
Well, we had Mathieu Cazavant in probably 2-3 weeks ago to promote the fight that was on the West Island, that big fight, the Eye of the Tiger promotions. And, you know, it's one thing to support the local where you would hope that it's not at the level of corruption. And it can't be because there isn't the kind of money involved.
It couldn't be. They're more worried about putting on a good show.
Right.
Which is exactly what it's supposed to be.
They want asses in seats.
That's right.
Bob Arum and the rest of the Vegas boxing cable seem to be looking ahead to the next fight and the next fight and the next fight. And I watched that fight from the opening bell to the final. And the second that the fight ended, I turned my computer screen off. Pacquiao won. There was no point in watching it. Come on. I wonder if Norm MacDonald dropped 25K on it like he did last time Pacquiao fought.
Well, it seems that a lot of people dropped dropped some 25K on it, you know, and that's the danger of the NFL as well, is the betting. NFL is bet on more than any other sport, including horse racing and boxing and what have you. But, I mean, going back to the boxing, it was amazing to me. And like I mentioned with Dave Zirin there, was the complacency of Pacquiao afterwards. Now, I know that Pacquiao is a classy guy, and he handles himself with great poise, and he's a family man and all blah, 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 blah. But he didn't even, at the end of it, even give a dirty look to anybody. He didn't even question. He says, basically, I'd like to thank the Lord, and I respect the judge's decision. They did ask him, it was so robotic, too, almost as if it was scripted. Do you believe that it was the right decision? He says, no, because obviously you can't ignore that. You know, there were, I don't know, thousands of people booing
that he
in the
won
arena.
The fight.
Yeah, exactly.
That he won the fight. There
so, of course,
no,
you've got to mention it.
There is no way that he did not win that fight.
And then he says the robotic, yes. Would you like to have a rematch? Yes. With the other guy standing right next to him. Since when do they do boxing interviews like that with the other guy standing right next to him in full screen? And you know who pointed this out to me? My doorman, Bob McLean's.
Hey,
he mentioned it to me, and I said, yeah, that's right. I wasn't really paying attention. We were very, very busy. He mentioned that to me, and I'm like, right. I've seen bad decisions in boxing before, and that's fine. And you let it go. You're like, whatever. You see it in UFC, too. But it was the interview that really, really changed my mind about this.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
And something I totally missed because, again, I turned the fight
well,
off.
Yeah.
Just assumed it
was
over.
You had the result.
Right. Right. I mean, I scored it myself, 8-4. There was no way it was going to be... I'm still in shock, and I don't. It just makes me lose such respect for sports. Ugh. It's so difficult to, you know, we care so much, and the average fan cares so much and wastes so much time and energy and effort. And I just said waste, and I guess that's how you feel when you're cheated like that. But
after
you don't,
that,
you don't want it to feel like you've wasted. And there's a lot of really screwed up things in sports, and that was a great example of it. Front and center on one of the biggest sporting days of the year.
Right.
From the Belmont Stakes to the Celtics Heat Game 7, the Game 5 for the Kings and the Devils.
And the Grand Prix.
Sure. Hey, yeah. That was actually a thing this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
No, me neither.
I was sleeping. It's a hell of a weekend, Dave. But you know what? Like you said, Dave, you know what? These guys... like Eye of the Tiger and Matt Casaban, these guys who are doing the local stuff, they know they're never going to get any higher than HBO or what have you. And they're doing it. They're doing it for the community. Sure, it's a business. There's money involved. But, you know, it's the show. It's all about good fights, having some great fighters up there, great athletes displaying local talent. So that's the stuff you should support. Turn off your pay-per-views. Forget about this stuff. I'm sick of it.
Will you still show it at the bar?
Well, that's not for me to decide. I mean...
you guys have to pay for that, though. It's not like the 50 bucks that you pay at home.
No. We have a commercial rate, as they like to put it, and it ain't cheap, my friend.
No, I think it's in the low four figures, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I don't think people realize that.
I don't think we're going to show it again, because a lot of people walked out of that bar in disgust. You know, almost as if it was like a bad WrestleMania. That's what it was like. It was so contrived. And it was just not real. And
if you're into that fake crap, then that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew out of wrestling a long, long, long
time ago. When you reach the age of reason, of course.
Well, long before that.
Okay.
I think I was into wrestling before I was into hockey.
Well, it's entertainment. So, I mean, it's
right.
fun.
It's, yeah. it, for me, it was sitting with my grandfather on Saturday afternoons and watching wrestling.
Because old people still thought it was real, but that's okay.
Maybe it's because the TV was still black and white. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, my papa loved wrestling and would take me, he took me to the Forum. I saw Andre the Giant wrestle at the Forum when I was a little kid.
And that's a thrill.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but seeing anything at the Forum is a thrill as a little kid.
Sure.
It's just being in that building and
yeah.
just a wonderful feeling.
But these days, wrestling is not lying to you. They know that you know that it's not real.
How
and
could
now
you
it's
not
more for
know?
Entertainment value. Well, there are some people out there, but boxing
is real.
And it's now it's based on lies. Right. Lies, deceit, and money. And it's disgusting. I'll never watch it again.
But like Dave Zirin said, it's always been the red light district of sports.
Sure.
So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just media propagation, and because there's so much media right now and so much money. Who was the Yankee Stadium fight in the 20s with the long count? Dempsey?
Yep.
So yeah. this has been going on forever.
Oh, sure. Well, boxing is, I mean, that's why boxing is so, and you know what? They're in such a bad position right now. There's two guys. There's Mayweather and there's Pacquiao, and there is nothing else going on. Who's the heavyweight champion? Does anybody know?
Klitschko? I have no idea.
Yeah, one of you them. Know? One of the Klitschkos, right?
Buster Douglas?
I'll tell you what. In the 50s, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and even up to the mid to late 80s,
you knew
who the world champion was.
Yeah.
Heavyweight champion.
But wasn't there only one belt back then?
No.
Now it's like there's eight different classes for each, you know.
Even into the 70s, I believe there were three divisions, three federations, as you call it. You know, merge it. Do what the UFC is doing. They're doing it right. Until, of course, they're corrupted, too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait until the next one where the guy gets suspended for steroids or
right.
something or
yeah.
God knows what. But it sucks.
It sucks.
It
sucks because I love boxing. I really do. I love it. It's a great sport. It's not as brutal as people think it is. There's a lot of art and there's a lot of technique involved in this sport that people don't see.
Would love to know what Otis Gray thought of Saturday night's mess. I still remember that round he took off Roy Jones.
That's right.
That was amazing. I think it was the eighth round. And it was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's the little victories sometimes.
Everybody wanted to see Roy Jones get at least one in the face.
But I liked watching Roy Jones Jr. when I was growing
sure.
up.
Sure.
He was great.
Yeah, and I love watching Floyd Mayweather. I love watching all these guys.
Arturo Gatti.
Yeah.
And Gatti Ward. There was no questionable calls there.
Yeah, the only guy I didn't like was the Prince there, that idiot. He used to come in the ring and dance and flip over, and then he got knocked out with one punch. Prince.
Oh, yeah. Was it Nassim?
Nassim. Prince Nassim something. Oh, God.
British guy.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yes.
What an idiot that guy was.
It's a joke, Jay.
It's a joke. It's a joke. I don't think I could ever bring myself to watch because I loved the Mayweather fight. I thought it was great, Mayweather-Cotto.
Mm-hmm.
And now this thing was just, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say.
And at the end of the day, when Mayweather and Pacquiao finally do get together and fight, it's going to be too late. And I'm sure that a lot of people will watch, but I promise you, we won't care. Because no matter what, there's going to be that lingering doubt. And it sucks that there's that lingering doubt. But it's sports. Jimmy's got an update for you. This is the Kaufman Show. Travis Reitzman right around the corner. Jeff Pullman, Max Harris, Ben Christensen, and Mick and Keith.
Here comes the night, yeah, it's bad as disregard. Another night, spent at the ready. Yeah, the sleep all fine, through some tigers out in the yard. Yeah. Tonight is Hogan Tame, tonight is Hogan Tame, tonight is Hogan Tame.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We are with you till 1 o'clock. That's right. We're ending early tonight. Jay and I have plans, very important plans. We're going to go hang out with Chris Robitaille at the Transmitter.
Is that what we're going to do?
I don't know. It depends.
Watch him shut it down?
Did you bring any Jameson? We can go to the...
Listen, there's always a way. I got some hookups. I don't know if you knew
Dude,
that.
Yeah, you know a guy, right?
I know a guy who knows a guy.
That's cool. That's cool. When I found out that Rod Francis was under the weather, I told him I can hook him up with some chicken, some matzo ball soup. I know a guy.
You know a guy.
I know a guy.
Yeah.
He makes the soup, you know? So we're rolling along here. We had Dave Zirin on before, which was fantastic. Once again, we want to apologize to one of the Expo greats, Ellis Valentine. Damn LA Kings and their damn Stanley Cup.
Winning it and stuff.
Ellis will be in Montreal this weekend. We'll speak with him at the gala. And either Jay and I will get a couple of minutes alone with him at the gala to conduct our interview, or we'll have him on the program next Monday night, at which point we'll play Dave Zirin's glowing
review.
How honored he was to be on the show with Ellis Valentine. I didn't have the heart to tell him. But yeah. I do want to thank our next guest for introducing me to Dave Zirin. His name is Travis Reitzma. He writes for Runs Batted Out. He's also the weekend editor at The Score. And when I say writes for Runs Batted Out, he is Runs Batted Out. And his thesis has been sent off, which means he has more time for us now, Jay. He's finally there for us.
Isn't that nice?
And we're there for him. Travis, welcome to the program.
How are you guys tonight?
We're great, man. How are you?
I'm awesome. That was an amazing interview.
Yeah, you know what? The best interviews are when you don't have to speak. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Dave Zirin is easily my favorite sports writer. He's one of my favorite writers, period. His books are incredible. He's just an all-around awesome writer, so it was good to hear that interview.
Yeah, sure. It was great to have him on. We're happy that the Stanley Cup Finals ended when they did, because otherwise we would have had to bump our first two guests of the night.
You know, this whole hockey thing, last week hockey bumped me. This week you're bumping Ellis Valentine. What is going on with hockey? What's Stanley Cup? Who cares, really?
You would think that that hockey meant something to people in this country.
Yeah, for some reason. I don't know. I kid, of course.
It's a fad. It's a passing fad, Travis. Don't worry about it.
Travis actually wrote me last week after the show saying that he might get into hockey from listening to the show.
Oh.
Well, I was into hockey until about 2 years ago. I just, I've kind of fallen off the radar with it.
Are you a lifelong Leafs fan?
I am, and maybe that's part of the reason why I finally just got sick of it.
Poor thing.
Yeah, no, right?
So what's going on in the world of baseball and the fact that the Pittsburgh Pirates are in first place?
Yeah, that happened last year, too.
I remember.
It was much later last year. It was the end of July, and they still managed to lose 90 games. So I'm not positive that they're going to stay where they are. I think that they're falling off pretty soon.
I know what you're saying, and it's really easy to say that, and I feel like that was. But the point is, they're hanging around, and they have
they
a better.
Are, but that offense is historically bad. It is one of the worst offenses since the dead ball era, and I have this, like, the pitching just really isn't that good. I mean, yeah, AJ Burnett's been pitching really well, Eric Bedard's been pitching well, but and that might continue. But ultimately, if you don't have anybody hitting, it's going to be hard. It's Andrew McCutchen and everybody else.
Is that your big surprise so far this season, Travis?
I would say that of the Orioles, but now, like I say, we're seeing the Orioles fall off now a bit. They're still hanging around, but they've gone on a pretty putrid run. So, the Mets too. The Mets have been really surprising. I'm not sure where they are now, but up until last week, they were getting outscored, despite the fact that they had a well above 500 record. So
the Mets are three games over, and they're five games back right now. Washington has a three-game lead in the National League East.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, and the Mets are being outscored on the season. I just checked it here. They're minus -8, I think, right now. If I'm reading this right. So you know, normally when a team is getting outscored, that usually means that whatever success they may be having is probably going to come back down to earth at some point. So. Sorry for Mets fans, but it's probably not going to continue for too much longer.
Which, I mean, there are so many surprises when you look through it. I mean, who would have had the Chicago White Sox ahead of Detroit, let alone, I mean, Cleveland's still sticking around. They're only a half game back of the Sox.
Yeah, no, I at the beginning of the year, I wasn't as high on the Tigers, I think, as everybody else was. I still had them winning the division because that division just, coming into the year, just did not look good. You know, you look at that team, you look outside of Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder, and maybe Alex Avila, and there's not a lot of depth on the team. I mean, Delman Young, Brandon Bosch, these guys have never really proven to be good major league hitters, and I think it was foolish to expect them to suddenly become them. You know, and the pitching staff, they're built on ground balls, and they have the worst infield defense in the majors. So you do the math, it ends up not working out too well.
Travis, there was a huge signing in Major League Baseball today.
There was. Cuban outfielder Jorge Soler, who's 20 years old. He was signed by the Chicago Cubs to a 9-year, $30 million deal, which is much higher than I think just about anybody had it. And it's high. It almost matched in terms of dollar value. Yoenis Cespedes, his contract that he had. He signed a 4-year, $36 million deal, which was a record for Cuban players. And Soler came pretty close. And being just 20 years old, it's weird because he's probably 2, 3, 4 years away from the major leagues. There's also an opt out where he can actually opt out of his salaries and renegotiate new salaries for his 3 arbitration eligible years whenever they come.
If the $30 million isn't enough, right?
Yeah, so it might end up being more than $30 million. The $30 million is the absolute bare minimum, and it's a crazy deal. But they clearly believe that he's talented, and you know, if he ends up being even a league average player, that deal is going to look really, really good in a few years.
Can you imagine being a 20-year-old Cuban immigrant and you've suddenly walked into a $30 million guaranteed contract?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy for sure. It's a lot of money for him. But I honestly didn't expect him to get 9 years. I mean, everything I had been reading was saying 4 or 5, maybe 6. And then you have to renegotiate once he got his playing time with his arbitration years. So the 9 years surprised me, but with the opt-outs, the salary opt-outs, it kind of makes sense. And I think for the Cubs, you know, if you get a league average player, even if you have to pay a bit more than $30 million over the life of the contract, it will definitely turn a good value for them. So
we're just finishing up with El Jefe, Travis Reitzma, the baseball expert on the Kauffman Show. When is this guy going to make a difference? So this Cubs team is looking just pitiful right now.
Yeah, it's not coming right away. Like I said, he's 20 years old. He's Kevin Goldstein on the Up and In podcast, Baseball Perspectives. He said that he'll probably end up going to either low A or high A to start. Normally players who are at low A or high A are at least 2 years away.
Unless your name is Guerrero, right?
Unless your name is Guerrero, yeah, I do tear it up down there. But there's a few other guys. I mean, guys like Bryce Harper, you know, they don't spend much time in the minor leagues, but I don't think Soler is quite that level of talent. I think he, from what I've read, it sounds like he could be a pretty good major league player, a lot of raw power, sort of the perfect right field prototype. But he's probably 2, 3 years away. So for Cubs fans looking for an immediate impact, it isn't there. But that team's in a very, very long rebuild, so it's going to take quite a bit.
Yeah, it's 110 years and counting, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Travis, what can we look forward to on Runs Batted Out this week?
I think this week I'm going to write a piece about native imagery in sports, and specifically native imagery in baseball. I got into a few Twitter arguments this weekend with the Blue Jays facing the Braves, with some Braves fans and some other fans who didn't think that native imagery in sports was racist, and I'm going to explain why it is.
I look forward to not only reading that, but hopefully talking about it next Monday night on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Come to think of it, I remember your entire preview for the Cleveland baseball team did not mention their name, didn't it?
I don't refer to that team as its name. I refer to them as the Clevelands.
The Clevelands.
The Cleveland Baseball Club.
Okay.
Like that.
Not the Spiders?
No, although I wish they would change the name to the Spiders. Or maybe if you don't like that, you know, it doesn't need to be what it is.
I think it was the Cleveland Spiders, like, turn of the century.
It was. And, you know, a weird thing is, too, they actually changed the name to the Cleveland Indians because they had, I apologize, I don't remember the name, but they
you
had
said,
a...
You said it, man. What's going on?
But, you know, they had a player who was Native American, and he was their best player. And so they actually named the team after him. That's why they were called the Cleveland Indians. That's why they changed their name from the Spiders to the Indians.
Wow.
But, of course, Chief Wahoo didn't come along. The incredibly racist logo did not come along until the 1950s. So when people who argue that it's just tradition, well, it really wasn't the tradition. It really wasn't.
Nobody was racist in the 50s. Come on.
Come on.
Travis,
racism,
I look forward.
Racism was totally eradicated by then.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Exactly.
Sure.
Racism came out with Jackie Robinson.
No, completely wiped it clean.
So. Travis, I look forward to reading you tear Chief Wahoo a new one on Runs Batted Out this weekend, and we'll speak next week.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, guys.
All the best.
All right, bye.
Travis Reitzma from Runs Batted Out and The Score with our weekly little baseball chat. Let's go to L.A. We're close enough to it. Jeff Pullman, Mystery Ball, 58 on Twitter. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago talking Stratomatic, And tonight he's calling in to gloat. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm great. How are you? Why do you still have a voice, and why are you sober?
I'm sober because I just haven't been drinking for a while. I was probably about to if the Kings had lost tonight to New Jersey, because I couldn't foresee them going back and winning a game seven. They would have been pretty demoralized.
Or you're that kind of a drinker. That's the other kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just called to be a little gloaty, I'm just going to take the phone here and put it to the window so you can hear the car's horns honking and everybody screaming out in the streets. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah, go for it.
You like that?
Oh, my goodness. It's so loud. It's like the protests here in Montreal. That was incredible.
That sounded like a police car getting flipped over. Yeah. Is that what that was?
Well, that's probably going on about 10 miles away downtown. I'm more like on the west side. And L.A. is strange because when they win championships, the town is so big, it just absorbs everything. It absorbs sound. And even when the Lakers win, because, you know, this has pretty much been a basketball town of late, it's just like, well, whatever, okay, you know, totally.
Are you going to go to the parade, Jeff?
That might be fun. I'm not sure. That's a possibility.
Do it, man.
I should do it.
You should do
one of those.
When are you going to get another chance?
Exactly.
Yeah, I missed mine. I missed 93's parade. I had my grade 6 elementary school graduation.
Oh,
still
boy.
Hate them to this day. Pretty sure that's what swore me off school.
Yeah, well... No, but I've actually, I've been living in Los Angeles since '82, so I've been going to Kings games for over 25 years, and used to go to see Marcel Dion and Bernie Nichols and Dave Taylor play at the Forum, and it was great because you could get like a center ice seat for about between $9 and $11, and the same fans were there every game, wearing their ugly purple and yellow hockey shirts that we had then. And it was fun. It was just a great place to see a hockey game. And I do not like the Staples Center at all. I just won't go because it's so incredibly overpriced. And they've taken kind of the regular seats that the plebes like us used to sit in, and now everything is like way, way, way up on top of like three layers of corporate boxes. And, sure, it's great. It's wonderful they won the cup, but I've certainly been able to enjoy it on television. But so going to the parade would probably be a good idea.
I think it probably would, and considering you're a long-suffering Kings fan, we are nothing but happy for you, and hopefully you'll come on the show and talk a little Strat soon.
Yeah, I would like to. I'll be at the when I get to the All-Star break, because I'm actually going to have a little bit of an All-Star game contest that anyone can... enter, basically, picking. I'll have the rosters posted, and then people just pick the score. And the 1958 All-Star Game, which was played in Baltimore, will be played in Baltimore.
Awesome. Come on and tell us a little bit about it the week before, and we'll see if we can get some excitement going for the contest.
Great.
Jeff, congratulations.
Thank you.
Jeff Pullman is our token LA Kings fan on the show tonight, and we wish him nothing but the best.
All right.
For this season, at least. Next year, it's back to Go Habs Go.
That's right.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great night.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
From L.A. to New York.
Our reporter on the scene. Describing the chaos going on in the background. Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Mad Men theme for the last time. This season. Stop being so demure, Jay. You're already in the studio.
What?
Let's go to Max Harris now. Max was with us last week, and right as Max started going into his madman Tiger Woods theory, his Don Draper is Tiger Woods theory, we got the news about Coach Therrien meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And unfortunately, I don't feel that we gave Max our proper time and attention and all these things that he deserves. You know that Max was my first co-host when this was Balls the Baseball.
Yes,
show.
I do.
Max is the guru. In fact, you can follow him on Twitter at MaxTheGuru. And I know Max had his, he had to wait a little longer than I did. He watched the Mad Men finale tonight, and he's back for more. Hello, Max. Hello, Max. Hey, Jimmy, why don't you put Max on and not Travis? And that way we'll be, sorry, Travis, we'll get back to you in a few minutes after Max. Hello, Max.
Hello, Dave.
How are you, my friend?
Doing great, guys.
Were you yelling hello back there while I was saying your name?
I was, although I didn't hear the click, so I knew I wasn't on, but
there
I kept doing it anyway.
No, it's a good thing I'm not colorblind. I was able to see that the red was lit up and not the green.
Well, it's all good, and I figured this week, instead of being the millionth person to give his thoughts about last night's finale, I want to look to the future, Dave.
Really?
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Oh, how Mark McGuire of you.
Yeah, I mean, Mad Men leaves off right now, March 1967, but one of my favorite aspects of the show is how they're able to take historical elements and weave them into the plot. So I thought about the sports moments that are coming up in the next few years.
Oh, wow.
And I'll give you a few. I'll start January of 1969, Super Bowl III, Joe Namath guarantee. And, of course, it's reminiscent of the classic Simpsons scene of Grandpa watching Super Bowl III, admiring Johnny Unitas for his clean haircut.
That's a haircut that I could set my watch to.
Exactly. I feel like Don Draper would sort of embody the same feelings about Johnny U. Probably not a Jets fan.
Oh, it's weird to think of Don Draper as an old crotchety man one day like Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, but as we saw this season, not too far off, I really think they used music to help demonstrate that point.
Yeah, the dude doesn't dig the Beatles, huh?
Or the Stones.
Or the Stones.
No, it did not. Moving on, April of 1969, of course, the Mets have their opening game against a certain club called the Montreal Expos. Could it be that Don would take his French-Canadian wife to the inaugural Expos game? Could it be that she would meet Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau and that they might zooby-zooby-zoo in Manhattan somewhere? Not inconceivable.
Oh, wow. Maxwell, well done, sir. All giving right. Her the Margaret route.
Sure.
Jeez. Or Barbara Streisand, was it?
Well,
didn't he date Barbara Streisand for a while?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
Sure did.
Smoothie.
And then I'm going to go to summer of 69. Not for Bryan Adams, but just north of New York City, we got Woodstock. Now, I'm going on the record right now. Glenn, the creepy former neighbor of Sally,
yeah,
will be 16 at the time.
Oh, God.
And, of course, got a little driving lessons from Don a few weeks ago. Could he take Don's daughter, Sally, to Woodstock?
Oh, I hope they stay away from the bad acid.
Well, I mean, they'd get that from Roger Stilling, it seems like.
Max Harris on fire tonight. Anything else going on now? Are you going to send them to Altamont?
Well, I mean, you might.
There's a couple of characters on that show I'd like to send to Altamont, right in the middle of the Hell's Angels.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, I mean, you know, maybe that could be an angle of the Mets coming into Sterling Draper Cooper Price, or whatever they're called now, that Lane is gone, and saying
Holloway,
we need to
Holloway, Max.
Well, I think Harris.
Oh, no, but I'm thinking Jones got to get in there now.
No, but her married name is Harris.
Oh, Harris, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Fits
Does
for
Campbell
you.
Get his name on the firm? He is a partner.
You would think, and he's a pretty smug prick, so you know he's going to fight for it.
Yeah. Well, be that as it may, maybe if I were running Mad Men, and you know that's not going to happen, the Mets, a losing franchise for the first 6-7 years of their existence, come dawn to make them the hip and new exciting team of New York, and then we followed it all the way to the World Series. I mean, that's just my idea, but...
Maybe we find out that Don Draper coined the phrase, you gotta believe.
Or he came up with the Meet the Mets jingle.
Max, this is brilliant, man. I'm so disappointed that the series is over for a year, because I'd like you to do this again sometime. But you're going to have to come up with another TV show to relate and make this as awesome as it was. This was great. Thank you.
Try Game of Thrones.
I've never
That'd
seen it.
That'd be interesting.
I've never seen it.
No?
Me neither.
It's better than Mad Men. Sorry.
Yeah, but you like that Star Wars Lord
no,
of the Rings
No, no, no.
Crap.
It's nothing like that. It's
really?
Nothing like that. No.
How could it not be?
No, it's much more realistic. It's more of a
there
drama.
There aren't like
type
enchanted elves. And it's not like...
There's
like,
a little bit of magic involved, but it's not really that kind of thing.
I look at the commercials, Jay.
You just waved me off as a nerd. Is that what you just did? You just geeked me out?
Well, if the shoe fits, man.
You,
what can
Mr.,
I say?
Just quoted The Simpsons at a very whim.
Man, you have no idea how many hot chicks like The Simpsons. I don't know why you don't see that.
It's not about chicks, Kaufman.
What's it about?
It's about getting your lunch stolen. That's what it's about.
Game of Thrones.
Is Max still there?
Max is still there.
Good.
And
we're, Dave and I are in a fight now.
We are, but that's okay. I just, a TV show that looks like the Game of Zelda come to life doesn't really look so awesome to me.
You said you haven't seen it yet.
That's what I said. Commercials. It doesn't look so awesome to me.
Don't judge anything by commercials.
Very true. Max, I want to thank you. We have to go to some commercials. Max
judge
Harris,
these commercials, though.
Follow him on Twitter at Max the Guru. Max will speak soon. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Have a great night.
You.
This is the Kaufman Show.
Simpsons. Game of Thrones is badass. You got to watch it.
All right.
It's good. You'll enjoy it. You really will.
Okay.
It's very violent. There's naked women. It's awesome. Just like Mad Men.
Is our show the sports radio equivalent of violence and naked chicks?
No, I could probably name a few others. Maybe Howard Stern, maybe, yeah. I wish it was. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Is it the TSN 990 equivalent of it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We are the badasses of TSN 990.
Oh, that's only a factor of time.
Okay.
It's just because of the late hour that we're on.
Right, we get away with stuff.
Jimmy's got an update. We're going to come back. We're going to speak with Ben Christensen, squeeze in a couple of phone calls. We've got some people waiting on the lines. Always room for more. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. This is The Kaufman Show.
Inside me and twist it all around. I want love to grab my fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put my face into the ground.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Hope you all liked that update from Jimmy. I thought it was fantastic.
It was great.
My goodness, I'm so up to date right now. In case you're wondering, the LA Kings won the cup. Everything else?
That's about it.
Yeah, the Nationals played in Toronto tonight.
They did.
Put on a show. And Bryce Harper, lucky kid. I'm telling you, anybody who's out in Toronto right now, keep an eye out for Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is 19 years old. He is killing the baseball this season. He is the darling boy of the National League. And this is the only series all year where he can legally drink. So you know that Bryce Harper
too bad
is-
it's in Toronto.
Well, he's 19, so I'm sure he's very happy to be in Toronto.
Yeah.
And getting absolutely plastered right now. I'm sure that he's hanging out
at all of
A-Rod's famous old haunts. There's a couple of spots if you know the right people, Jay.
Yeah, but that's anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows the right people.
I'm sure he wishes more that the Nationals were still the Expos, because he could have been drinking for a year already.
That's right, and could drink for another.
And in style, too.
Let's go to the phones. Who are we bringing up here first? We might as well, we had Travis before, so let's bring Travis again. Travis is not that one. No, there we go. Jimmy
is colorblind.
We need a sneeze from Jimmy.
That's what happened.
Travis, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dave and Jay.
How are you, sir?
You know, I was watching that Jays game, and I could be a lot better. That was ugly.
Well, the Washington Nationals, people don't like to talk about it, but they're a favorite for the World Series this year.
Don't say that.
Well, come on. You know what? We've been talking about the Seattle Sonics for the last week and how heartbroken Seattle is. The Sonics were taken away, and this is all in the news now because the Oklahoma City Thunder are in the finals. If you don't think that this is coming for Expos fans, get ready. Start to mentally prepare yourselves. Read all the stories.
It's only a matter of time.
You're going to be asked for the quotes. You just can give the same quotes that they give in Seattle, but it's going to hurt. And I'd rather talk about it now and get it out in the open. The Nationals are a good baseball team. They're not a fluke. They will be a good baseball team for a long time. Now,
and that's painful.
But they're not the Expos.
No, not even close.
You look at the Thunder, they are the Sonics. Durant
well, exactly.
was a Sonic. He played his rookie season in Seattle. If Vladimir Guerrero was hitting home runs for the Washington Nationals right now, my heart would be broken. But I look at that team and I don't see Bryce Harper in an Expos uniform. I don't see Steven Strasburg in an Expos uniform. I don't see them paying, what was it, $25 million for Jason Worth? I don't see these things happening. Gio Gonzalez would not have signed with the Montreal Expos as a free agent in the offseason.
No.
And if he did, then it would have been a different-looking Gio Gonzalez that wasn't going to win 20 games this year.
There are basically no remnants left of the team. I mean, it's been long enough now, whereas the Sonics were folded in 2008, I believe.
It's it. It's much more recent.
Yes.
It feels different for me as because I, you know, I don't live there. I live here. And down here, you hear different things. You know, you hear like, oh, it's a good thing that they're good now, you know, now people care, you know, and that's that annoys me, and I do yell at people for that, not like loudly, but I do give them the business for that in my own little vigil for the Expos.
Well, keep the flame bright, my friend.
Yeah, no one listens to me anyway.
We listen. You have your forum once a week on TSN 990, that's for sure.
That's true.
So what else is going on?
I know you guys didn't watch the Grand Prix, yeah?
No, I was too busy enjoying the weather.
It was raining here, so I watched it.
And?
What'd you think? It was a good race. I actually am an F1 fan. That was a pretty good race.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was told it was a good race, but I was watching the inside of my eyelids, unfortunately.
I'm impressed the ticket sales were only down 5%.
Yep.
I think that shows that the event was a success.
Yeah, and even though I do like F1, it kind of it goes against my grain as a kind of liberal dude, and the audience can tend to be pretty
douchey.
Yeah.
to put it mildly, my friend, and not that I have firsthand experience, but I have firsthand experience.
I have been to that race. Yeah. The crowd is often very rich, very European. And
very pretentious.
Yeah.
And douchey.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's I always think it's idiotic to paint with broad strokes.
No.
And I give a great example of that right now is that the students are taking a licking in the press and on Twitter and with the public because somebody was today. There was some protest and somebody gave a Heil Hitler salute and the cameras picked it up. And now suddenly every protester's a Nazi. And we all need to get away from painting with such broad strokes.
Right.
No matter who. Not every F1 fan is a douche. And not every cop is abusive. And not every student is a spoiled brat.
No, but let's be honest. I mean, getting back to the F1. I mean, it does attract that kind of a crowd.
Elitism, Jay. It's elitism.
Exactly.
And that's what brings in $100 million a year our economy.
And I have no problem with that. I mean,
well, as long as they come
I have a job because of that.
Exactly. As long as they come to your bar and they again, Montreal made
it is what it is.
Very clear this year how desperately they want that race.
Yeah.
And what they will do to protect the people who are involved in that race. So, again, ticket sales only being down 5%. The fact that there's another race in North America this year, there are a lot of factors. The economy is still in shambles. I think people forget that. For them to be only off by 5% from last year, pretty solid.
Right.
Travis, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, cheers. Have a good one. And great on having Dave Zirin on, man. That was excellent.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that one, too. It was one of the best interviews I think we've ever done. And again, it was Jay and I didn't have to say anything. We just sat there and listened and laughed. It was wonderful. Thank you, Travis. Let's go back. Oh, we've got, yes, that's exactly. Benjamin Christensen is now back on the West Coast. He is one of our premier baseball correspondents, and it's great to have him on the program tonight. Ben, hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man, good. What's going on?
Oh, well, I was at the unfortunate end of the Oregon Ducks baseball season.
No!
Yeah.
Aw.
So the trip to Omaha is not going to happen now, so I'll be in Oregon for the next couple of weeks, at least until school starts. But during my time, I'm going to actually do a road trip from Safeco Field down to Petco Park and check out all the stadiums in between, see my family, see some friends, and just enjoy baseball, you know, not inside the fan cave.
There's got to be a feeling of liberation to be able to watch a game, even tonight, being at a college game. I mean, these are things that you could not have done 2 weeks ago.
There was. And I was in a bit of a turmoil because, you know, after the last little flare single to win the game for Kent State happened, And I was kind of on the cusp of crying just because, you know, I thought this was going to be the big thing that I was going to do. Before I went to the Cave, I was going to all the games for Oregon baseball. I've been going to all the games since they started the program 4 years ago. And for them to have such success this season, be a top five team the entire season, and then I come back and then our, you know, dreams of going to the College World Series just gone in a flash was just so depressing.
Have they ever been to the College World Series while you've been cheering them on?
No, they hadn't. Okay. Because they were the second year in the program, they got close. They got to the regionals and they got knocked out. And then this year they got to the super regionals. And then, yeah, literally, bottom of the ninth because Kent State, based on their higher seeding, they were actually the home team despite playing Eugene. They had the last at bat and so got the little flare single, won the game. And it's just like, oh man, this is so deflating.
No, that's unfortunate. You've had a bit of a run lately, my friend. For a guy that's as happy-go-lucky as you are, I feel like you've seen a side of baseball. You've sort of seen the cruel side of baseball in the last little bit.
I have, and you know, I'm not. After coming home and getting a lot of hugs and handshakes and, you know, welcome back from everybody, the mood is still, why are you here? You should still be in New York, and so that part of it is still kind of hard. And I'm, you know, aside from doing interviews with you guys or doing the show with you guys, the NBC affiliate in Portland had me on their show, the Sports Sunday show at 11:30 last night. And so I got to talk about the Fan Cave and such and my experience there. So I'm still reaching out. I'm still getting people that are very interested as far as what I'm doing and what the next step is. And one of the more interesting things that happened today was the Oakland A's actually got in contact with me, their marketing manager on Twitter, and so they want me to get in contact with them, and they want to know when I'm going to be coming down to games and possibly do something with them for that. So,
well, that,
that's a positive step in the right direction.
I would, to say the least, man, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I guess that means you got to get your ass to Oakland as soon as you can, right?
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
Well, I think you can put off the trip to Montreal till after the season if that's.
No, I'm going to come during the season. To me, that's an obligatory thing to do because aside from wanting to hang out with you guys, I definitely want to be in Montreal during baseball season and just kind of I'm still curious how the feel is there, especially now as you guys were just talking a second ago about how well the Nationals are doing. And the fact they're in Canada right now playing as good ball as they are, I'm really curious to see how the mood is because I feel so horribly for your city and the team moving to D.C., but even on top of which, it's like I want to party with you guys. I want to hang with you guys, and I want to talk, you know, baseball face to face again.
Oh, good. I know we're gonna talk baseball face to face real soon, Ben. The last time we did that, God, I think I got home at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben Christensen, he's now back in Oregon, and as you guys can all hear, he's kicking butt. Who needs the MLB Fan Cave?
Yeah, I. You know, there's a part of me that still does. It's cool that I can be really be myself again. I can do my own style of writing. I can talk about what I want as far as baseball is concerned. But I think the aspect as far as what I wanted to do with the MLB Fan Cave, and I wanted to hit that younger demographic. I wanted to bring him back to the game or to introduce it to him for the first time. And so from Oregon, it becomes a little bit of a challenge because all my followers on Twitter are still there. They still love hearing from me. I still love talking to them. But am I going to be able to get, you know, 20, 30 new followers a day, a week, whatever, to talk about baseball and possibly get more people involved? I don't know. That's what worries me the most.
The answer, Ben, is probably no, and slow and steady wins the race. And as long as you keep producing the good content that you produced, I mean, there's a reason that you got accepted into the Fan Cave in the first place. And a lot of that is to do with your blog, Beard to Be Feared. And if I were you, I would just keep pumping out the content there. I'll tell you, I did not know you and Googled Gary Carter because I was looking for something to read on Gary Carter and came across your blog, and that's why we're friends.
Really?
Yeah, man. Aww. Man, I did not. I knew nothing of you. Before I saw your beard, I read your post on Gary Carter. Before I knew that you had an Expos uniform tattooed on your body. I read that post on Gary Carter. And as long as you keep getting that word out and showing your passion to everybody else, sky's the limit, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
We'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to it.
Good, me too.
Ben Christensen, out in Eugene, Oregon. Don't vote for the Fan Cave. They don't need it.
No.
Nah. All done now. Just go support Ben. Follow him on Twitter at Shaka Brody. Let's go to the phones. 514-790-0990. 1-866-896-2546 is what you would call if you're out of town and don't have money to burn. John in Denver seems to have called 514-790-0990. So let's ask him how the 1% is doing tonight. Hello, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've dialed the wrong number.
Pardon me. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
Yes, do you? Or some poutine?
We have plenty of that, my friend.
How are y'all?
We're bathing in it, my friend. What's going on?
Oh, man. So I had this. I was going to start off with a quandary I had. Going in tonight, I either would root for the Kings for Western Conference pride or root for the Devils so I could party with the cup.
Party with the cup?
John, can you explain to me what Western Conference pride is?
I have no clue.
What's your stake in that outcome, my friend?
Let it go.
No, but you know what the equivalent to that, Jay, is...
Were you going crazy during the All-Star games?
I remember when Ted Teeven on, not this station, but something similar to this station at this time of night said, Expos fans, you are not allowed to cheer for the Blue Jays. You have to cheer for the Phillies because they're the National League team.
Different. Different.
Why?
But you guys only have two, you guys only had two teams at that point, so it was fair to cheer for them.
Well, hold on. So if it was the Campbell Conference and the Wales Conference, would you feel differently?
Those two entities performed at the same time. The National League has different rules from the American League.
True.
It formed as its own separate entity before the American League came about.
Very true.
And so that's where, the, I mean, that is some old school pride, let me tell you that. And I'm sure Ted could probably remember why. I mean, growing up in the 30s and 40s, there actually was a war on. I mean, the two teams never saw each other. The two leagues never saw each other during the regular season. So there was a bit of a rivalry there. You'd see them during the All-Star game or the World Series.
John, what's going on?
Anyways, on to that. I would have been able to party with the cup for a second time. My friend... is Pete DeBoer's nephew.
Oh,
her
wow.
Niece. She's very attractive. And growing up, I think I told you guys this story. I lived down the street from Ray Bourque.
Yes, I think you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. So, first of all, I have a question for you. Do they riot up in Vancouver when the Canucks just don't win? So is there a riot going on up there right now?
I don't know, man. I can't see past our own riots.
Yeah, I screwed up that joke. Damn it. How are you all?
If Jimmy was on top of things, you would have had a drum fill.
Dude, you were waiting online for 30 minutes. You can write the stuff down before you come on.
I think I should probably go on that comment. That was perfect. There's no coming back from that, is there?
John, we'll speak to you next week.
Oh, no, I do have to go. All right.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Nice, Jay.
Well,
I'd skewer our most faithful listener. Well, this is the Kaufman Show.
Some of us don't have to write stuff down.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, not everybody can fit it all into that big head. Like, yeah.
My large brain case, yes.
One more segment, Jay?
Sure, let's do it, man.
All right, this is the Kaufman Show, and what do we got here? Hey, we just heard this. What's going on?
So what? It's good.
Hey, it's courage.
It's courage.
You'd think that Andrei Markov just had a knee injury or something. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Welcome back. We've got about 10 minutes left with you on The Kaufman Show. You can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. Jay, my wonderful co-host, is at Jay Pub Radio. Three things we like, Jay, Pub, and Radio.
Three things is, yeah. Two things I do. One is my name, apparently. Yeah, I was gonna make a joke about if anybody was watching the Dodger Angels game, but apparently on the big screen at Dodger Stadium, they had a big count on the last 20 seconds of the final game there, the Stanley Cup final, and the crowd erupted.
In June of 1993, I believe that the Montreal Expos were at home the night that the Canadians won the Stanley Cup. They were playing the Cincinnati Reds, and if memory serves, the attendance was just over 13,000, which, frankly, is pretty damn impressive.
Well, it was a good team at the time.
It sure was.
Yeah, and by June, they were already making some waves there. I think they were in first place, actually, in June 1993, weren't they?
That was the year of the famous Phillies series.
That's right.
Delino. Let's go to the phones. We've got another, wow, I bet he's celebrating right now. We've got Steve in Redondo Beach. Hello, Expo. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Congratulations on, I'm assuming you're a Kings fan?
I follow the Kings, yes. I'm not a diehard fan like everybody else that's been showing up at the cafe. But,
cafe's been getting a lot of good press lately.
Oh, it's been incredible. The New York Times, Today, NHL.com, the Hockey News, LA Times. It's just been crazy there the last couple of weeks. All the local TV stations have been down there, and obviously business has been booming. But good for the boys that run it. They've been supporting hockey since they opened it 7 years ago, and they deserve the attention and the business.
Damn straight. How are you, sir?
I am good. I wanted to talk a little Expos.
Good.
I know there's a reunion coming up. I think it's coming up.
Yes, it's this weekend. We're all super excited. We were supposed to have Ellis Valentine on the show tonight, but the hockey game ran long, so we'll speak with him next week.
Is Ellie going to be up there for the reunion?
Yes, he is.
How many former players are coming?
I'm not sure what the final count was. I think it's around a dozen, though.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just a fantastic weekend. Jay and I will both be at the gala on Saturday night, and can't wait to be on air Monday and tell you guys all about it.
Is Francona coming up for it?
I don't believe so. I think he works...
Sunday.
Yeah, for ESPN. So I don't know where the game is, but I guess it's prevented it. But I know that Andre Dawson will be here, and I believe Tim Raines will be in as well. Bill Gullickson... I found out that Jim Fanning is coming, which is actually kind of cool. We'll have to keep him on the other side of the room from Bill Lee. But
yeah,
no, hold on. Is Rodney Scott going to be there?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Wow. Maybe you should go to Brasserie. What was it called? Brasserie 77 on Hochelaga?
On Hochelaga, that's right. Yeah.
I think he even talked about that. He was on the air on Melnick in the afternoon, I believe. He was on with Bill Lee at the same time, actually. It was pretty good.
Oh, man.
Well, it's been a number of years. Hopefully they'll all kiss and make up. Not literally, just, you know. Yeah.
In the spirit of things, I think that I don't think there's anything to worry about. I don't think any fights will break out inside or outside of the Sheraton Center on Saturday.
Francona gave a shout-out on Sunday Night Baseball last week to the Expos.
Did he? Yeah, well, sort of.
They were talking about interleague play next year and how they would only have rivalry games. I mean, they would make sure they would have rivalry games and then have sort of standardized schedule for the rest of the interleague games. But Francona said, "You mean like Expos Blue Jays?" And Dan Shulman, who's
from Toronto,
right? And I think he did the Blue Jay games for a while.
He did,
and worked on TSN and knows basically. He probably, I mean, I know he's very good, but he probably wouldn't have had a career but for the Expos getting the Blue Jays, you know, into the league.
Exactly.
He said that wouldn't that be nice or something like that.
Steve, we've got to go. We've got to end the show at 1 o'clock tonight. They're doing some maintenance on the transmitters. But
okay, that was my last question.
Don't be a stranger, man.
You were cutting out early. Okay.
It's been too long.
We'll let you know about the whole event. You'll hear all about it next week, I'm sure.
I promise you. Right off the top of the show, we'll talk all about it.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
All the best, Expo. Steve from Redondo Beach, California. It's been too long.
Yeah, where's he been?
I don't know. Hanging out at the Redondo Beach Cafe.
I guess so.
Caught up in a Dodgers team that's the only team in baseball that's playing above 600 right now. Managed by Donnie Baseball.
Isn't it amazing, huh, how things can change?
Yeah, Magic Johnson. Where that team was last year versus where that team is today.
Right.
The future can look so bleak sometimes.
It's amazing how a lack of ownership can trickle all the way down to the pine itself.
Seriously. It's... you know, we see the highs and we see the lows, and it's been wonderful tonight to have that contrast, to talk about the thrill of victory with the Kings winning the cup tonight. And by the way, just side note, so nice that we didn't say the word Bernier once on the show.
Would we have had they not scored three goals? Nobody would have said a word. Leave the kid alone.
Hey, look at that, Jay. No news broke during our show tonight. The Falklands have been invaded. I repeat, the Falklands have been invaded. I want to thank Dave Zirin, Edge of Sports, The Nation. Read his stuff. I genuinely believe that reading his stuff makes me smarter. Travis Reitzma, you're the man. El Jefe. El Jefe es bueno. Max Harris, Max the Guru on Twitter. Really brought it tonight. And so did Ben Christensen. He always does. And like we said, the sky is the limit for that guy. He'll get as much done from Oregon as he did from Broadway. That's for damn sure. John Kakalakis, thank you so much for your wonderful work as always. John is, by the way, the reason that we got that Dregger news about Coach Therrien last week. This is a man who's doing his job and doing it well. Same with Jimmy G. Thank you, sir. Still like you, even though you're wearing an England jersey. And Mr. Farrar, we'll do this all again next week, okay?
Go Greece! Had to get that one in.
I'm Dave Kaufman, and I'll leave it with Go Expos.
I played a show in Cologne last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand. Faced out in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at the tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?